All right, I'm Sam Bown. I'm in the Computer Networking and Information Technology Department at City College San Francisco. And I guess I want to tell you a story first. A year and a half ago, I'd never been to DEF CON, and I heard a news story about a guy presenting a Cisco vulnerability, which I think Dark Tangent just told the whole story about. Now, they made me wait in the speaker room where they had relatively luxurious chairs, but I didn't get to hear that story. So all I know is whatever distorted media I read about it. But the main thing I got out of that is that really important stuff happens here at DEF CON, really good information that people need to know. And I didn't know any of it, and so I bought a ticket. I said, well, I better go check this thing out. And so before this, before DEF CON, a month before it, in Texas, there's a teachers' conference I went to. And a guy stood up and he gave an hour-long talk about security and the need to have strong ethics and the need to be able to answer immediately with no hesitation if the cross-examiner will ask you, is there any illegal software on your computer? Have you ever taken any illegal drugs? You have to immediately say no, and you have to mean it. Yeah, that's what he said. And then he said, those people at DEF CON are complete idiots. You can't ever send your students there. They won't learn anything. Those people will tell you things about computers. They're not even true. The exploits don't even work. And I sat there, oh, really? Gee, oh, well, I guess it's kind of too late to sell my ticket back, and I guess I could always, like, quietly sneak away and never admit I went if it's really that bad. But how bad could it be? And I came here, and I was amazed at how wrong he was. I mean, serious PhD candidates, teachers from everywhere, professional network security people. And the main thing I noticed is, at my college, people are in my way. Every time I'm walking somewhere, I'm trying to get there, and I have to go around people like obstacles all the time. And this is the only place I've been in years where people were going around me because I was in their way. Anyway, and I heard about all these exciting things, and I said, well, if this stuff works, it is really a shame that there's no class at our college at all that prepares someone to come here and compete in something like Capture the Flag, or even to understand what's happening here largely. So I went back and told my department head all this, just because she asked, what did you do this summer? And I said, oh, I learned all this great stuff at DEF CON. She said, well, why don't you teach a course? And I said, they'd never let me teach a course in hacking, would they? I mean, I didn't even think to ask. And she said, oh, yeah, go ahead, there's a book. And there is a book. This was news to me. I thought this stuff was all, like, illegal and scary and dangerous in the eyes of in the eyes of academia. But there's a book, and that's a real I don't know if the guy who wrote this book, Michael Simpson, is he here? Perhaps not. Well, I hope I wouldn't offend him too much by saying that this book is the perfect book for what I needed to do, convincing a hesitant, scared college to accept my course. Because it's very straightforward, it explains everything from a very good way, and it's kind of dull. And the projects are kind of wimpy. You don't actually do what I would regard as a lot of real hacking. You talk about hacking, and then there are these hands-on projects, but too often the hands-on projects are sort of, you go to a website and look at something. So what I was able to do, see, is use this book as cover. The purpose, I could, if the administration asked me, what are you teaching? I said, I'm teaching what's in that book. And I found websites from six other colleges that are teaching classes in that book, and I say, I'm just teaching a network security class like all the rest. It happens to have hacking in the title, but, you know, it's not that bad. And then I wrote my own projects to add to it. My department head, who talked me into doing this, and I appreciated it, also took the bold step of building into our program. We're a community college, a two-year college, and although it is possible for four-year students to go to our college and then transfer to a four-year college and get an undergraduate degree, that is a very small portion of our population. The majority of the people in our classes are full-time networking professionals going to night classes to brush up on skills, which is how I got there anyway. I was a database analyst. We upgraded from a DOS-based application to Access, and I took night classes. And while I was taking night classes to brush up on Access, I was thinking, you know, I'm really tired of being a DBA, and I'd rather be teaching this class. And so I left and went and did that. But that's mostly what our students are. So anyway, our programs are kind of short, but they put hacking in our security program. And so I'm convinced it's a good idea, and here's why. We have a Security Plus class, and we have other security classes where people talk about security and best practices, and the students listen to lectures, presumably study the book, and then regurgitate it back on tests, and the result is they don't learn it very well. They don't really know it. When I took even the smarter students and I would talk to them in the lab about exploits and the man-in-the-middle attack, they didn't really understand what was going on with the Arpcash poisoning, which surprised me because they weren't at the bottom of the pack. But reading a book about it doesn't really get it in their heads. You have to have labs. Students have to really do it. They have to really do combat, attack, and defense. And it really excites them to do hacking. They've all heard about it. They see it in movies and on TV, and they want to do it, and they didn't think they could learn it at college. And like I say, professional network administrators out there, even ones I've talked to, are amazed and they want to take the class. People with a lot of experience. People with a lot more experience running networks than I ever had still want to learn all these hacking tools because they don't know any of it, and they recognize immediately that this is really important. So the next thing is, how dangerous is it anyway? This is the first thing that happens to me every time I talk about this in a chat room with my friends anywhere is, well, you're just making people into criminals. I said, well, no, I really don't think the criminals go to college and take classes to learn this stuff. I think they do use it and they learn it, but I think they learn it in other places. The people that go to classes are people that want to be security professionals on the other side, but they still need to know it. There may be some students who take what they learn in my class and apply it for evil, but I have no evidence of that. I've never seen anything like that happen yet. And I'll talk a little bit more about it later. But what certainly is true is a lot of network professionals that really want to understand security are learning it a lot better. That's the point of it. And if one of them goes bad for every 100 that goes good, then I think I'm improving the world. If it really was true that I was raising up a crop of terrible people that would go destroy the world, then I would quit teaching the class and I'd have to agree. But that's not what I think is happening here. All right. Anyway, this is not a very advanced class. You certainly can do very advanced, wonderful things. And I was just watching H.D. Moore's class, his talk about Metasploit. That was wonderful. But that's not where I'm at. This is a simpler class for people that have only taken a couple of networking classes, so I made it so you should have Network Plus and Security Plus first. Perhaps not the certificate, but at least preparation classes for it. And there's no programming. That's just the structure of our college. So we're not going to be able to create exploits or do reverse engineering or machine language. We're just going to use tools and do attacks with that. So, and the pattern is, you do a bunch of projects. Each project goes the same way. You create a vulnerable system of some kind. Then you attack it and take it over. Then you harden it and observe that it's no longer vulnerable. And that's the point. That's why you're learning both sides. So we need a lab. I saw another good talk today from a guy that wants to set up his labs with live CDs. And I guess I could have gone that way, but I didn't. I went with virtual machines instead, which are another alternative. I'm used to them, but you certainly could do it with live CDs. Anyway, we just have fairly ordinary machines here. The only thing notable about our machines is that we have pretty big hard drives and moderately fast processors, not that great these days. And each the hard drives have to be big because each student needs a lot of space. I just found out when I just taught this whole class in Texas in a week at that same conference, they brought me back to teach the hacking class this year, that each student needs about 15 gigabytes for this stuff to work. Each virtual machine is pretty big. Anyway, I had a lot of security concerns about this class. In order to avoid getting in trouble, when I went before the faculty review board to review new classes, I was armed with materials to justify my class in hacking, lists of other colleges that were teaching the same book. I was ready to endure a barrage of abuse and retribution for daring to suggest this. And they just said, oh, that'll be funny, ha, ha, ha. You're going to make them like Superman, and then rubber stamped it. So my review board had no clue about the potential hazard that I was putting us in, so I wanted to make sure that it stayed that way, to make sure that nothing bad happens, and they can continue to not be aware of things that some people might reasonably worry about. So my goal in setting up the lab was to protect the world from the lab, not the usual goal where you protect your lab from the world. So I found a router. One of my students found it, actually. This Zyzel router is actually a pretty lame device. Crashes a lot, but it has a strange feature, I don't know why they put it there, where you can filter the upstream bandwidth. And that's what I did. So you can't do anything to the world at any speed. The upstream is limited to 128. The downstream is a T3 line. We've got plenty of bandwidth, but not up. So it protects the world from us. There are signs up all over the lab. I tell all my students, and this, amazingly enough to me, really penetrated them. They're scared to send email from the lab. They don't know how to turn in their homework. I warn them, look, even if people are doing just what I told them to do, they are doing man-in-the-middle attacks, hardware keyloggers, software keyloggers, sniffing on a wire with EtherCAT. They're stealing everybody's password in this room. They're using OffCrack to steal your login password. Just don't even use any password in this room that you love or any email account that you use for anything else. Make another email account with a different password and never type your normal password anywhere in this lab because I know they're stealing everything. They're supposed to. That's their homework. So anyway, this really got through to them. I got a bunch of student assistants. The hacking lab is open almost all the time, and there's some other classes in there, but it's pretty much just a hacking lab. And a bunch of students volunteered to come in and be the monitor over the lab for a couple hours at a time. They all have keys. They all have keys to the closet where all the hardware is stored. And it worked really well. They showed up on time. There were no troublesome incidents. They didn't even steal my stuff. They didn't even steal the really cool stuff. I had a bunch of Wi-Fi routers, little Wi-Fi dongles. I had some hardware key loggers, which are a couple of them wanted to take those home. And I said no, but they didn't, and he didn't take them home anyway. But nobody even stole the stuff, which I was amazed. I sort of thought some of it might get stolen, and I figured if they don't steal it all so fast that we can't use it, I can replace the stolen stuff enough to keep going. But they didn't steal anything. They loved it. It was their hangout. So anyway, for projects, we use all the exciting stuff that I saw at DEF CON. You folks have already seen this stuff, I imagine. We choose Metasploit. It makes it far too easy to take over vulnerable machines. We took over a Windows machine from XP and a Windows machine from Linux. I did these two projects, I must confess, because they're the only ones I could figure out how to do. One thing that Metasploit does not appear to have is a nice, friendly instruction manual that tells you how to do things. But thanks to Iron Geek, and if Iron Geek is here, I'm happy to buy you a drink. You've totally saved my life. Because Iron Geek's videos show you how to do things. And there are other videos out there to do. But without those, I would have been up much later and perhaps failed to get these projects ready in time. So that's why the particular exploits I chosen are chosen because I could figure out how to do them. Metasploit can do 180 things, but I only know how to do two of them. Anyway, then Nmap came with a lot of warnings. Nmap can bring down a server, and I said, well, gee, I should put in a warning in this project. Be careful because you can bring down a server. And I said, wait a minute, that's no fun. Let's build a web server and bring it down and see if that's true. And by George, it is true. You set up a Windows 2000 web server, you do an aggressive port scan, it goes down to speed zero. It's lots of fun. So anyway, we did that. I wanted to put a rootkit on Ubuntu. I knew Linux machines are vulnerable to rootkits as well as Windows machines. I wanted to do it the hard way. Let's see if I can put a rootkit on a Linux machine. I searched over the web, and I found a variety of rootkits available, but most of them were specifically for really old systems. And I found some rootkit with the undignified name of Fuck It. It was the name of the rootkit. And this thing was designed to attack old Red Hat Linux servers, but I tried it on Ubuntu, and it worked. And I was sort of floored. I said, wait a minute now. If I pulled up a Windows exploit from 5 years ago and put it on a modern Windows machine, there'd be a patch. So I went to the Ubuntu forums and I said, should there be a patch? And they said, no, there shouldn't, because you should not add patches just to plug specific exploits. You should only add patches to maintain functionality. And if you want security, that should be a separate thing you add in. And I ultimately bought it. I think they're right. That would be down the wrong road for them to go. But anyway, that rootkit works. I must warn you, it doesn't work very well. Not all the features work, and it destroys the Ubuntu. You install that rootkit, Ubuntu will not restart. You have to clean it off before you restart, or it's dead. But we're using virtual machines, so I just warn them, copy your virtual machine. Yeah. In fact, the first section of my class, I said, it'll destroy your virtual machine, and if any of you can get it off of there, please tell me how. But next week, I figured out how to get it off. And if anybody here wrote the diff function in Linux, I'd buy you a drink, too, because the diff function is fantastic. Anyway, I got it off. I don't understand how it works myself. I expected it to compare the list of 30,000 files and their hashes I was trying to do to find out what the rootkit did and stop at the first one that didn't agree and then give me 29,000 false positives. But it didn't. It found the 30 files that were changed, right? Anyway, so I got the rootkit off of there. Anyway, then I wanted to hack websites. Now, I wanted to set up a website and have them hack into it, but I sort of quickly figured out how much trouble we'd all get in if I did that. And I found this Hack This Site place, which is pretty exciting. I don't know if any of these folks are here. The founder's in prison now because the techniques worked. The techniques worked too well, and he really did use them to steal thousands of credit card numbers, and they caught him before he used them. So I said, this is great. I told my class, now, first place, don't use your real name or anything, but sign up here, do these projects, because this is the kind of education you'd normally have to learn from your cellmate. So a really good opportunity. And anyway, so they did it. Another great thing about this place is these projects come with solutions. There's a forum, and the forum will, if you read the forum, they will tell you exactly how to do it, step by step, if necessary. It's a puzzle, but there's 10 of them. And I got to maybe 6 or 7 before I started looking at the forum, and by the time I got 8, I got mad, because 8, they're doing, I think, a SQL injection, and they didn't have the guts to really let you do real SQL injection on a real site, so they have a simulation, and it's not right. So you don't get any reward from being close. You have to get exactly the one string they recommend, and I got frustrated. Anyway, some of my students made it at the end of that, and it's good for them to try. All right, then we wanted to find vulnerabilities in systems. We did Nmap, of course, to find out what ports are out there, and you analyzed those with Wireshark to see what you got, and ran through the firewall tests. That hit the news quite a bit and caught my attention. There was a website, firewallleaktester.com, I think, that has about 25 tools that punch through firewalls. It was the first thing to prove in a quantifiable way what I had often heard rumored, which is the Windows XP SP2 firewall is junk. It's easy to get through, and because it doesn't filter outgoing traffic. So it's fine, except that all I have to do is trick you into clicking on a link, and then it's wide open. Anyway, that was fun. You have a project where they test various firewalls. And other things, NetBIOS, Nessus, and the other tools, which are more or less familiar, I think, to a lot of people here, but they are not very familiar to people that go to college and take what we claim is thorough education in network security, unfortunately. Anyway, then there's EtherCAP to snip passwords, and keyloggers, software keyloggers and hardware keyloggers, and OffCrack, which really floored me. And it has floored almost all the professional network security students I've had come through classes. I give them, I say, I'll just get your XP password right off of that box. Just boot from the CD and then just wait, and your passwords just scroll up the screen and their jaws drop and they run home to harden their box. And it's very impressive. They finally fixed that in Vista. Vista no longer has LM hashes by default. But XP with Service Pack 2 does, for some reason that is too stupid for me to make any excuse for it, like compatibility with DOS machines on your LAN. Anyway, but OffCrack's fantastic, and the other ones, Kane and Abel and John the Ripper, all ways to steal passwords and crack into passwords and get where you don't belong. And then, of course, you can just bypass the passwords. You can bypass Linux passwords with Live CD, and you can bypass them with recovery mode if you don't have an admin password, which is sort of a cheat, but that it works on a default install of Ubuntu. When you install Ubuntu, I discovered you get something with the security kind of like XP Home in many ways. But anyway, and then the ultimate boot CD, something I didn't know about at all. One of my students brought it in. I've got a few semi-disturbing hacker-type students. In fact, a good part of my job turned out to be defending my hackers from the rest of the teachers, because along the way, other teachers got upset. They said, what's going on in that lab anyway? Why is this lab open all the time when the other labs aren't open? And what are they doing in there? And there's one guy in particular that couldn't even be bothered to pass the course. And you see, hackers, in my experience, a lot of my hackers are brilliant people with no particular interest in jumping through any stupid hoops. They're not motivated by a degree or by a letter grade or anything. They'll just do what they want to do. So this guy was great, and everyone else kept trying to throw him out of the college. He would come in my lab, just show up and say, what's fun today? And he'd start taking apart the machines, changing them, wiring up the network, installing bizarre stuff on them, and he would flunk my class, right? He didn't show up, he didn't take the test. If he did, he didn't know the right answer, and he dropped all those. So the other teacher said, he's an idiot. Why do you even have him around? I said, no, he's the only one keeping the lab working. All these machines were broken last semester. I couldn't keep them fixed as fast as they were broken. He's fixing them. There's nothing he wants to do more than just be a network admin, patch all the machines. And so I just made him my assistant. There's like a work experience class you can take. So that was his class, fixing the machines. He dropped all the others he couldn't pass anyway. And he was happy, and I was happy, but I had to keep fending off attacks on me. This guy is no good. Get rid of him. I said, no, I need him. He's great. But why? He doesn't know anything. No, he knows great stuff. He knows stuff I don't know. One of the things he knew about was the Ultimate Boot CD, which is one of the environments sort of like OffCrack or Ubuntu Live CD that boots from a CD and then lets you mess with the accounts on a Windows machine. And the interesting thing about that is it works on Vista, designed for XP, but you can create an administrator account on Vista. Now, my impression from playing with it in a virtual machine, and I must admit probably a Vista beta, was that it wasn't very good for the Vista. It seemed to me like the Vista never worked very well after that. But you can take a Vista that you're locked out of and create a new administrator account and get in with this thing. So at the end of it all, here's what happened. 80 students took it. Both sections were completely full. I had to turn some people away. 40 of them passed, which is typical at my college. That might sound disturbing. It certainly would to me in my typical four-year university education where you're entering a pipe that has a freshman at one end and graduation at the other end, and you're all supposed to go through the pipe. But it's not at all unusual where I'm at. And a lot of them are just overburdened. But you have to understand, our students are not trying to earn a degree. They're trying to get skills for work, and most of them are network administrators, and many of them would miss class after class because there's a problem in the network, and I have to stay and fix it. And I remember I did the same thing when I was working all day. I would miss my access class because I'm the IT guy. I've got to fix the network. It doesn't matter. I can just flunk that class, and it's not important compared to my job. Anyway, well, of course, some of them were just people that didn't try hard enough. And by the way, let me just go back and mention something here. We had a lot of projects involved cracking passwords. I got kind of disturbed. One thing you would think is it would be the A students that would be the lab assistants, but that's not true at all. Half of the students are the C students that really need to work in the lab, and they'll volunteer to be a lab assistant to be there and work regular hours, which is fine. But anyway, one of them sent me an email saying, "Gee, I'm going to be late on my homework because I forgot my password." I said, "But wait a minute." Now, in other classes, that might be a reason. But you can't tell me that you're locked out of one of your boxes. You're not in this class. Anyway, that guy got sick, and he's hopefully going to take it again next semester. Anyway, but you know, for a minute, I said, wait a minute. How can that be? Anyway, so half of them passed. But the main thing is there were no security incidents. We didn't get in any trouble with anybody. The students didn't apparently hack any real web servers, didn't steal anything. They seemed enthusiastic. They all seemed to quickly get onto the idea of what it is to be an ethical hacker instead of a criminal hacker. And the only guy that really gave me any pause was really, really sharp. He knew everything. He knew a lot more than I did about creating exploits. And he showed up the first day, and he said, "You know, I nearly got busted about 3 years ago. I brought down this web server for 5 hours, and they almost tracked me down, and I almost went to prison, so I gave it up. And I didn't do any more hacking. And then I saw your class." "Oh, boy, now I'm going to do it again." And I said, "Gee, I'm not really sure that's what my goal in this offering this class was." But he was, in fact, going straight, and he went off to UC Berkeley, and he's off to great success. He did show me his Zone H, I think, where he has his list of his exploits. I saw someone with a T-shirt with Zone H on it around here. I didn't know about it, but they have a competition where they hack into government web servers and deface them, and he was part of a team that won some competition to deface the most web servers. Anyway, you're not doing that anymore, at least not as far as I know. Anyway, everybody was very happy, and they all wanted more advanced class, which is a good thing. So, as far as I can tell, this is a great thing to do. It excites the students. It brings them in. They learn better because they get to really practice combat, attack and defense, and I think that really pounds it into them. I do not understand a science class where you read a book and watch a lecture and then you repeat it back on a test. I mean, what is the point? Mr. Wizard was the best science teacher, in my opinion. You have to do something with your own hands. Then you learn something. Anyway, but I have to warn you, I imagine there are a lot of college teachers out there, there certainly seemed to be last year, that for your colleges, with students who have never had a job, just free from parental oversight and suddenly without limitations in a dormitory, you might have more discipline problems. Those people might really hack into places they shouldn't go, I would imagine. But at City College, I had no real troubles. But our students are older. They're 30 and 40. They're working professionals. They have kids. They have jobs. They don't want to hack into anything. They just want to learn security to be better at their work. I just wanted to mention ICONS Institute supported me, and my department supported me fantastically. I just went and taught this whole hacking class in Texas to a bunch of teachers at a teachers' conference, the same one I went to a year before that said nobody should ever go to DEF CON. They got a different story this year. And everybody thought it was great. All the teachers had the same reaction. Wow, this is fantastic. I love these projects. I got to put it in my class. Then a week later, one of the teachers from that college emailed me and said, well, the administration just told me that I can't put any hacking tools on any of the computers in any of the labs. And I was sitting there responding, well, why did you even bring me down there to teach the class then? And I decided not to send that one. But I said, well, this is like sex ed. I thought we went through this in the 60s and the 70s. The colleges are not here in the business of concealing information and hiding it. We're here to tell people the truth and give them all the knowledge so they can make sensible decisions, I thought. But, you know, apparently not everybody has caught on. I just want to mention, there's my contact information, and if anybody wants to use any of this stuff, it's not very original. It's all largely based on the stuff that the people out around here have created. So I stuck it on my website. Let's see, escape, there we are, it gets me out of there. You going to come up or what? This computer, all right. It was very cheap when I bought it. And it runs very slow. So here's my website, samsclass.info. There's the class. If anybody wants anything, it's all there. Uh-huh. There you see. See how cool that is? Isn't that really going to help you out? Yeah, maybe they... You know, they did take my website down, but that was another class. Anyway, that's too bad. I kind of wanted to show you that. That's getting kind of rude. Wonder if I just got kicked off the internet. No. By the way, when I was teaching, yeah, I think I did just get kicked off the net. Could be a layer one problem. Let's try that. You know what? The last day at the Texas conference, the whole campus lost internet connection, and the other teachers really did come to me and say, you did it, didn't you? And they were serious. And I said, well, thank you for the compliment. In fact, I don't think I know how to do it, but it's nice that you think I would. Then I thought about it, and I said, well, you know, now that you mention it, I can think of a few ways to do it, but anyway... there we are. That's what I wanted to show you. There's the class, and what you got here, page down, all right, is I've got all the, that's schedule, that's not true. There's all the lectures, which are from the textbook. There's PowerPoints there. But there's the projects. And if any, that's probably the best part. So if anybody wants to teach any of this stuff someplace, feel free to take these, modify them, mangle them around, put your name on it. Because this is all... just my detailing of the steps required to do stuff that I found on the forums and in hacking videos and such. I think I'm done now. If it's really a fellow warning me that I'm running out of time at some point. In fact, looks like I'm already over. Is the next guy here, or should I take questions? I thought I was done at 6:20, but it looks to me like I'm past 6:20.
Is he here?
Okay. All right, I'll clear out. I guess there's a Q&A room if anyone wants to ask questions. All right.